Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome everyone to Locaweb's first quarter of 2020 results conference call. Today we have with us Mr. Fernando Cirne, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Rafael Chamas, Chief Financial Officer and Investor Relations Officer, and Mr. Igor Franco, the Be Online and Director. Today's live webcast access Locaweb website at www.ri.locaweb.com.br. The slides for this presentation will be available for your webcast platform. The information is available based on the guidance and interpretation by the CDC. So, before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Locaweb management and on information currently available to the company. These forward-looking statements are no guarantee of performance. They involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that conditions related to macroeconomic industry and other factors could also cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I'd like to turn over to Mr. Fernando Cirne. Mr. Cirne, you may proceed with your call. I'd like to thank the investors for their participation and to the entire Locaweb team. You were all very agile and efficient in this first quarter. Because of you, we have been able to deliver brilliant results in terms of our operation. On slide number two, let me start with the main highlights of quarter one 2020. We have already seen some very clear signs of acceleration of the company's digital transformation due to the coronavirus pandemic. We saw this particularly in our commerce operations and also in the online products. Another highlight is the strong growth of our GMV, which reached 44% this quarter. And as early as April this year, we already saw a growth of nearly 80% over 2019. Still about e-commerce, we have also seen great acceleration in the entry of new customers in the e-commerce platform. In comparison with quarter four 2019, we saw a growth of 103%. Only March, 160% growth over quarter four 2019. And in April, as you're going to see, we saw a growth over 250%. In the Be Online and SaaS market, we also saw our sales grow organically more than 20%, which is also a reflection of this growth and stabilization, with highlights to a few products that I'm going to mention later, such as the Cloud VPS, which is our entry product for the cloud portfolio, the site builder, and the email portfolio. Delivery Direto had a fourfold increase in the entry of new customers. And there were also some temporary impacts on our margin. These impacts were from the foreign exchange variation, and we call them temporary because they haven't really compromised our trend of margin expansion. And in the case of the dollar exchange rate, Of course, this will be passed on to the product of our prices. And more than that, we believe that since the products of our competition are also priced in dollar, this is an opportunity for our product to become even more competitive. We have products that are not linked to the dollar, so this creates a competitive edge before our competitors. Now, about the coronavirus pandemic, we have 90% of our operations working from home. Our focus was on health and particularly on the quality of the service provided. We have been doing this very successfully, particularly in terms of customer service, with no impact on our operations. We continue to develop new products at the same pace, and we are still seeing some very rapid evolution. I'm going to give you more details later. Slide number three. Here on the right, we see how much our e-commerce ecosystem has evolved in this quarter. So here we see that we reached 20 integrations with marketplaces, which is very important for us. Also, 40 integrations with ERP software. And also, it's worth noting our integrations with logistics systems, which means that we have the best and the most complete e-commerce ecosystem, which is very helpful to our customers and help them sell more on their e-commerce platforms. This is very important, and this is what has been making us a GMV in the past 12 months, 4.9 billion, which is very high. And if we compare with the Brazilian e-commerce GMV, for example, if we look at the 2019 GMV, we're talking about a 6.2% difference. At the time of the roadshow, we talked about being close to 5%. We are already working at 6% of the Brazilian GMV comparing with last year's data. And on the left side, we see the evolution of the entry of new stores, the booking of new stores. Since we started this year at a very fast pace, in January, we already saw a 72.3% growth over quarter four last year with the entry of new stores, then 78% in February, 160% in March, and in April, we were able to increase 2.5-fold the booking of new stores in our e-commerce environment. Four reasons for this fantastic performance in our e-commerce environment. First, as I just mentioned, we have the best e-commerce ecosystem for small and medium-sized businesses. We had two competitors that left the market, which was also positive for us. And the third point, which perhaps also helped us, that we were able to invest in new customers. We had a low CAC, and we invested this low CAC to bring customers within the customers that were not at very profitable levels, but we were able to bring them up to our customer portfolio. And number four, we also set an acceleration of the booking of new stores and stores that want to become digital, stores that want to sell online. These four factors together were accounted for this 2.5-fold increase. But this entry of new customers is not fully responsible for our GMV growth of about 60% in April. But this booking of new customers is what will pave the way for our growth in the 2 or 3 next years. Because if we look back, we see that when new customers join, within the first 3 years, And with this very high volume of new customers entering our system, we will see much more profitability than we saw in the past. So this growth of about 44% in the GMV that we saw in quarter one, this was due to the increasing consumption of the current portfolio, and the new customers will ensure the future increase in our GMV. So this is very good news for the coming years in terms of e-commerce operation. And then on the bottom left, we have the GMV growth. As I said, it was nearly 80% in April. So to reassure our investors, we see the same trend for May. Next chart number four. We see a very interesting performance of the BNY and software as a service. And for a more mature product such as hosting, we've seen some very positive performance this year with growth above 20%. We launched two products which are very popular then, and we're seeing growth above 20% over the same period in 2019. For the corporate email portfolio, today we offer the most complete corporate email portfolio in the market, also with growth values above 20%. Also, the site builder, the Cloud VPS. The Cloud VPS is growing more than 50% over the last year. Also, our SaaS and the online products. We're seeing some very interesting numbers, and this is all organic growth. We're even considering the efforts of last year. So this means a very good performance for BeOnline and SaaS. Another product which is showing very strong performance is Delivery Direto. Delivery Direto, if you don't know it, is a platform. I'm on slide number five now. So it is an app solution for restaurants. So restaurants are no longer dependent on marketplaces like iFood, and they don't have to pay those very high commissions. They can have access to the data bar of the buyers. They can conduct their own marketing campaigns, offer discounts, and they can control their marketing campaigns. And we are seeing a very high number of restaurants interested in this application because they no longer want to be dependent on marketing. So we have increased fourfold the entry of new restaurants per day, and this was during the second half of March. You can see here on the right that we were already seeing very expressive growth since mid-2019, but then in March and April, we were able to increase those numbers, and we understand that this growth is here to stay. Now moving on to slide number six. Here we see some of the improvements that we made to our platform. Let's start with e-commerce. Told you. We are still the platform with the best integration we have in 2020. A highlight to Mobly. Mobly is the largest furniture marketplace in Brazil. We are now. We are also now we have the platinum certification with the company. There are only two partners with the platinum certification. One of them are among the two top partners of Mercado Livre in Brazil. We have the new administration with sales quantity, average ticket, sales channels, and so forth inside the platform. We also have the Yapay application for iOS and Android. In this application, your financial management, accounts receivable, transaction status, and so forth. And item number five here is the payment link generator. The payment link generator is the first step of our strategy to increase our customers' capacity to sell on social media. So with this link, our customers can use this payment link to sell on WhatsApp and social media. So this is the first hand that we're giving our customers to help them increase their sales on social media. You've been following our conversations, you know that we're investing a lot in social networks, and we decided to do this stage by stage. So this is the first stage, and our customers can already increase their revenue with this payment link generator. And finally, the Yapay's partnership with other e-commerce platforms. Yapay is not just for local web. Yapay is a platform, it's an open platform. And it is used with other e-commerce platforms. We have now integrated it with four more platforms that are listed here. And it is our strategy to increase the penetration of Yapay. And we've seen a lot of evolution so far. Next chart. Now I'd like to turn over to Igor. And he's our BeOnline and SaaS director, and we'll talk about the performance of quarter one. Good afternoon, everyone. Let me just mention a few highlights. These are some of the items we have been working on that we have been able to deliver and which were very important for our good results in quarter one. I'm sure you remember in our last conference call, but I mentioned that in quarter four last year, we launched some important products for BeOnline. These products built the results of the quarter one 2020. So in quarter one, what we chose to do was to continue investing in the growth of these products. We also invested a lot in the usability of our products, increasing the easiness of use to avoid premature churn for many of our products. And of course, as we have always done, we are always paying attention to the launches. And this is also what we did in the first quarter this year. So here I have some highlights for the site builder. The site builder had an uplift of some of its features. So we delivered more functionality, to increase usability. For example, the checkout features were reformulated to make it easier for customers to enter their product in the virtual store of our site builder. Another thing that we did for many of our products is related with the content. We expanded the onboarding content of many of our products also to make it easier for customers so that they can get going faster and start using our products much faster with this enhanced information. The second item here is about our VPS hosting product. This was a launch that took place right after the IPO. And the VPS hosting product is for customers that require superior processing capacity. We have customers that start with a very simple platform, and then they gain access, and they gain reach, and they start having more transactions, and then all of a sudden they have to expand the functionality of the website, either in terms of number of transactions or more advanced functionalities. So this is the way to do that. They can hire the VPS hosting product to have more robust operational resources to improve the robustness of their website. And this is a product that was very popular in the first quarter. It was an absolute success. And we are now continuing to scale up the use of this product. And we have a very extensive roadmap of new functionalities coming in the next months for this product. Another point that we focused on this quarter was strengthening our relationship with our partners. And in this case, a very relevant fact was the partnership with Amazon Web Services for our corporate customers, or customers that require more advanced technology services. And we service these customers through our corporate structure. And we were able, through this partnership with Amazon, we were able to reach the status of managed service provider, which means that we have proven technical capacity, proven by Amazon, to provide excellent services in the migration and the maintenance of technology products on the cloud. So this is a very strong milestone for our corporate segment because it confirms our excellence and competence, and it allows us to work with much more complex projects. So this is a very relevant fact, and we should celebrate together. So these were the highlights that I wanted to share with you today. Now I turn back over to Mr. Cerny. Thank you, Igor. On slide number 8, we talk a little bit about our people. We always mention our people during our conference calls because we understand that our operations are totally dependent on our people. And now with the pandemic, people have become even more important for us. So since the start of the pandemic, we set up a corporate crisis committee comprised by the CEO and the company's executives, and we make daily assessments of what's happening with the pandemic. The focus has always been the continuity of our business, the health of our employees. Today, over 97% of our employees are working from home. We are providing allowances to support them with expenses with electricity and internet services. We also have a mental health program called Conexão Saúde, which is helping keep their mental health during these difficult times. For people that are working on site, we are taking all the necessary measures. We have hand sanitizer available, and so on and so forth. And we believe that after this period, we will be able to contribute to the acceleration of companies' digital transformation. We will be able to help companies accelerate this digital transformation. That's why we have been able, and we intend to keep up with the pace of development of our products. And for now, we do not intend to have any cost reductions or any, we don't have any plans in this sense, based on salary reductions, reduction of staff, nothing like that. What we want is to truly help other companies in this process of digital transformation. And in respect to the return to work, we are not in a hurry. LocalWeb was actually very fast in putting people working from home and keeping their business running. We were able to continue launching products, continue launching new features, so we're not in a hurry to return to having people working at the office. And this is something that I've been telling not just our investors, but also our employees. Now moving on to chart number 9, a little bit about M&A. So carrying on with this line of thought, if we want to be a fundamental part of the digital transformation of companies in Brazil, we will continue to look for good opportunities. In the start of the year, in February, we had 36 companies with an MOU signed. And now we have 7 companies at the pre-MOU stage, which means that we have a lot of opportunities in sight. and we will continue with this strategy. This is the focus of Locaweb with our internal development. M&A is a strategy for us, and we're looking for companies with recurring revenues, companies with a high cross-sell rate with our operations, companies with consolidated products, and companies with high-quality human resources that want to continue working with us after we buy the company. These are the four drivers that we focus on, and these seven companies that we're now advancing towards an MOU, I can assure you that they meet these four criteria that I just mentioned. Now, chart number 11. Now our CFO, Mr. Rafael Chamas, is going to talk about our results. Thank you.
Thank you, Fernando. Good afternoon, everyone.
Once again, we have very solid results, and I say solid because we have been able to show growth. We have two segments that brought significant growth, not just in the quarter, but as Fernando already said, the operational data of the first quarter show that we are in a comfortable position to continue with this strategy that is bringing on growth. As we saw, the booking of the stores, the GMV situation, the 20% organic growth that we saw for our Be Online and SaaS products, everything shows that we are on the right track towards growth. We have the capacity to scale, as I'm going to show you. We had a 3.5% percentage points of growth in the EBITDA margin of e-commerce. So our capacity to generate cash resulting from this change in the capital model, in our operations, everything's very solid. So let's look at the numbers. Us, quarter one, with a growth of 23.6% year over year. The two segments have very good growth, 21.5% organically grew by 20%. So it is growth vector for the company. E-commerce, we had already seen growth of more than 40%, and now we have another 31.8% growth. One of the factors that was really helpful in this growth of the e-commerce revenue was the GMV, 1.2 billion, an increase of 44.4%. And as Fernando mentioned, we have the capacity to help our customers sell more, and of these 44% GMV increase, 23% is with our partners. And looking to April, where the growth was nearly 80%, it was more than 50% for our customers. So this ability to make our customers sell more, added to the more than 250% increase in the number of new customers in April, shows that we're still expecting a lot of growth, both in terms of subscriptions and also payments from now on. And on the right side of the chart, during the roadshow, we talked about e-commerce, that we were still expecting a lot of growth and margin gain. And now we see the results. We closed quarter one with about 41.3% or 3.5 percentage points over the same period last year. The profit, net income was 4.4 million. Cash generation was very robust. 15.8 million, and later I'm going to explain, but this number compared with the previous year was minus 3.2. There was a contribution of the CapEx dynamics and how it was done last year versus how it was done this year, but particularly leverage. The segment has been growing, e-commerce and SaaS, and they are CapEx light, so we don't have to grow the CapEx to support this growth. And finally, the net cash position, 433 million. We closed the quarter with a bank debt of 97.3 million and 130.7 million in cash. Slide number 12.
Here we see the growth of the different segments and the drivers. We closed the first quarter with 104.5 million and an increase of 23.6%. For commerce specifically, we closed the quarter with 22.9, which means a 31.8% increase. And the contributors, as I said, were the GMV growth of 44.4% with the same-store sales of more than 20%. And of course, the TPV, for which we only see 3% growth quarter over quarter, but we're going to see an acceleration of that growth from now on. So for TPV, the growth was 60.7%. The reason here was that we were able to accelerate the savings for our core operations throughout 2019, particularly in the second half of the year. So this made our TPV proportionally grow more than the GMV. And for the online and SaaS, 81.7, an increase of 21.5%, and the highlight was the number of clients, 25.8% more clients, nearly 366,000 active clients in our base. Now, chart number 13. Here I see the company's adjusted EBITDA, 25.2 million, a 3.1% increase year over year. The margin dropped from 28.9% and already. Let me give you. We haven't really had any loss of productivity. The drop in the margin is mainly linked with the temporary impact of the pandemic. I'm going to give you details about each of these. Looking at the pandemic impact, we have two different types. One is customer related, either through credit loss or discounts that we had to provide. Very important to mention that our corporate operations account for approximately 15%, and we only had the credit loss problem in this part of the operation. In retail, with 80%, 85% of our customers, it's prepaid. So we don't have the problems with credit in this portion of the business. So the credit loss is limited to a small part of the operation. Another impact that is related with the pandemic is the currency depreciation. We have a software base, and some of the supplies and licenses are paid in dollars. So we had an impact of nearly 1.5 million in the quarter, which is 1.3 percentage points of our margin comparatively quarter over quarter. But we are trying to offset this in the price, the subscriptions, or in the new prices for new entries. So we understand that these are not permanent impacts. These are temporary impacts, and they don't really affect our trend of margin expansion. When we see a resumption of the economy, or when we transfer this to the prices, these effects will be neutralized. So, the two other factors are the reinforcement of the cybersecurity structure. We had already mentioned here. We stressed that we reinforced the structure. So, we still see this effect with a small impact of 1.7% margin. And with the post-IPO change in the administrative structure, we had to set up the internal audit, to set up a governance team. And this had an impact of 0.7 percentage points in our margin. But with our future growth, these drops, these effects will be totally diluted. Now, chart number 14, we see the behavior by segment. Even with the high growth, we have had the capacity to expand both our EBITDA margin and gross margin. 41.3% year EBITDA margin compared with 37.8% in quarter one 2019. The absolute growth was 43.9%, which makes commerce account for nearly 37%. The impacts that I just mentioned linked with the pandemic, they are concentrated on the online and SaaS, and that's why we see this drop of 26.6% to 19.3%. But once again, these are one-off events that do not change our trend towards margin expansion. Slide number 15. Here we see the adjusted net income, an increase of 29.7%. Here we have the composition of the adjusted net income. 2 points here, we have the stock option and the expenses with the IPO, which are one-off post-IPO. In terms of the stock option, before the IPO, we granted stock options to the top management with the purpose of retention. The purpose here was retention by the executive. That's why we had an increase in the provisioning here. This is adjusted in the net income because it is a non-cash position. With these adjustments, we close the quarter with 4.4. Now, chart number 16. Here we have the cash generation. On the left, we have the cash flow. Here, a row that has a lot of variation, but this is totally within plan, which is the working capital. One of the sources of resources in the IPO was to inject capital in our payment operations. It was in our plan to have a discount in receivables. Up until March, it was 44.4 million of equity operations, and that's why we see this variation in the working capital. In practice, it was just a change in the financing. Another highlight is the CapEx, which went from 4.5 to 6.2, and this is what we have initially. The annualized value on a quarterly basis is the same. This drop over last year is because last year we concentrated our purchases in the first quarter, anticipating some of the orders that we placed in the end of the previous year. Last year we had a lot of concentration in the first quarter. However, I always like to stress that we have been growing with SaaS and commerce, which are CapEx light. The CapEx that we need is basically for product development. We will see some leverage in the CapEx with the growth of these two segments. On the right, you see the variation in working capital. Due to the concentration of the first quarter in 2019, it was -3.2 million, now it's 15.8 million cash generation. Now I'd like to turn over to Fernando for his final remarks. On slide number 18, our final consideration, a little bit about the expectation. Very important to highlight that the company is very well-positioned. Company is very well-positioned. The company is ready to go in the e-commerce and SaaS segments. The data from March and April show that we are truly ready to help in the digital transformation of the country and of our customers. We have the most complete portfolio. For digitalizing small and mid-sized businesses, our company is very well capitalized. We have a very strong and consistent cash generation. We have a clear strategy, a winning strategy, very consistent, very robust in terms of M&As. This has been proven efficient in the past, and we will continue to use it from now on. We have the ability to launch products. And this also increases the possibilities of cross-selling and upselling within our different business lines. In terms of people are one of our most important foci, and we have programs to develop, retain, and attract the best people, even those working from home. We will continue to focus on the development, retention, and attraction of our talents. People working from home will not change our focus in this sense. We are using our low CAC to accelerate customer acquisition. We have been able to more than double the booking of new stores and e-commerce over 4 months. The CAC is one of the reasons for that. This shows that we are able to cap this low CAC to boost the company without compromising the company's margin. We will continue to service our customers at each marginal sale that we bring are sales that meet the profitability criteria that we have established. And finally, we will be a strong contributor to the market digitization post-COVID pandemic. Digitization is here to stay. This is not temporary. Companies in Brazil will need to become digital, and Locaweb will be a strong contributor to this process. Thank you very much. I'd like to thank our shareholders. I'd like to thank our employees, and we'll see you next time in our next conference call. I think now we can start the Q&A. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now open for questions. If you have a question, please press star one on your phone. If you want to remove your question from the queue, please press star two. The first question is from Susana Salaru, Itaú. Good afternoon. Thank you for answering our questions. My first question, could you please tell us more? But you talked about low exposure of e-commerce because in e-commerce, most of the customers are prepaid, but in corporate, they're postpaid. So can you tell us more about the prepaid portion? What is the churn looking like from the start of the year until now? This is the first question. And the second question is about the acceleration of the acquisition of new customers and commercial costs. Fernando touched on this very briefly now in the end. So what are the new initiatives and what do you have in sight for the next, for the second half of the year? Do you think that you will enter a new CAC level? Thank you for your question. Just one comment. The 85% is the online NSS. 85% of the online is for smaller customers, prepaid customers, and the rest is corporate. But still, about your question, what we saw is that for April specifically, we started to see some delay in the payment rate. We conducted many activities, many actions to recover these rates. And we have been able to recover our payment rates. We haven't seen any significant increase in the churn. Of course, we will keep monitoring this, and we have a contingency plan to be able to be close to our customers and strictly control our payments. But the focus here is not to lose any customers. So we will continue with our initiatives, but we don't see anything concerning, at least not so far. And Susana, your second question, how do we plan to acquire new customers? And also about the CAC. Many of these new customers are coming without costs. Sorry, I didn't understand. Many of these customers, this expressive increase in the number of new clients, part of them have a very low cost. For example, those that come from the competition, as I said, two of our competitors left the market, so these are sales that are very low cost for us. And also because of the pandemic brought us a lot of passive sales. Passive sales, clients that already had a marketing department, that already had a contact with us, and this helped us close these deals. We didn't have to add any incremental effort to close these sales. Also, we have incremented our marketing efforts, and particularly on social networks and Google. And that's where the CAC was essential because we boosted our marketing, we did more marketing, but always measuring if the marginal sales were profitable within the criteria that we find reasonable. So when I say that I increased 2.5 fold my sales, when I say 2.5 fold, we had some sales that were very cheap, very low cost, those that came from competitors and due to the pandemic. And there were others where we had to add marketing investments and social media and Google. So these sales cost a little more for us. You just mentioned fire, and this is specifically for e-commerce, right? Yes, the 2.5 fold increase was the booking of new stores for e-commerce. Okay, thank you. The next question is from Vitor Tomita at Goldman Sachs. Good morning, everyone. I have two questions. The first question is about the PDD dynamics for new regarding corporate clients. We'd like to know whether you took a conservative course in the first quarter, anticipating the potential default in the coming quarter, or can we expect more provisions and margin in the second quarter? And the second question is for the commerce. What is the churn looking like in May, considering the significant addition of new stores, if we consider that new stores tend to have higher churn in the short term? Good afternoon, Rafael. Yes, we've been conservative. We, of course, monitored some clients that could be more exposed, but in practice, we haven't really seen any problems. So, of course, we're not talking about provisions right now. For now, we don't have any signs that this will happen. Things are very well under control. In respect to the churn, in terms of control, it's very important to highlight that before accelerating our sales, and this started in the end of last year, we equipped all the areas and departments in the company that are linked to the launch of the stores. So everybody related with the onboarding of new stores, we improved the structure. So everything related with the launch of the stores was equipped before we started accelerating our sales. So when I say that we increased 2.5 fold the number of new stores in April and in May, we're seeing the same numbers. We were not caught unguarded. We were prepared to receive this larger number of orders. This is very important. There was a whole preparation work before we started accelerating our sales. That's why we don't see the churn. We have been measuring the cohorts. We already have results for January, February, March, and April. But for April, it's still a little early, but for the cohorts that we already have for January, February, and half of March, we don't see any significant increase in the churn of these new stores. So we have been able to maintain our churn under control, and this is due to the preparation work that was done beforehand. Thank you. The next question comes from Pedro Fagundes, XP Investments. Good afternoon. I have two questions. The first question is along the same lines of the last one about retention. it's clear that the structure that you created, the pre-sale structure that you created, or the onboarding structure is very clear. But can you give me more details? How can you make sure that the customers will continue to have a good experience with your platform? So what are the new initiatives related with the retention of this very high volume of new customers in the after sales or in your customer service? And the second question, I'd like to know, what are your expectations for the margin? Nobody had anticipated what we're living right now, and perhaps this is an excellent opportunity for you to step on the gas pedal and tap the momentum and tap the vacuum that was left by the competitors that left the market. Perhaps even invest more than you were expecting, or more than what we had discussed in the start of the year. So these are my questions. Victor, good afternoon. This is Igor. Let me try to answer your first question, because actually it has to do with commerce, but also be online and SaaS and the entire company. So we have two effects here. The first effect is that naturally the clients that are joining now, they are concerned with their survival. So they naturally have this greater concern of maintaining their business online. So many of these clients are clients that already have a high level of qualification, customers that are now in need, and they have a higher, naturally have a higher permanence rate. So they are not just here for the short run. They're here for the long run. But this is one of the effects. I have another thing that I want to share with you. We have a very large e-commerce program, and we are now scaling up this program for Be Online and SaaS. But for example, we have an area in the company which ensures that our clients are successful using our products. So for example, when you look at e-commerce, this area is very well structured for commerce. And in Be Online SaaS, we started scaling up this area since January or February this year. So it's still at a pilot stage for some of the products, but it has already been proving efficient, and we already started to see some results in March and April. As I said, we're still in the scaling up stage, the ramp up stage, but in general terms, this area takes care of the customer in different areas, in different aspects. So they make sure that the customer is meeting their needs when using our products. So sometimes it's not about being successful activating email marketing, but it's about being successful in increasing your sales. So this is a division, this is a department that has been growing in local web, and for these specific segments, it had been very consolidated and very mature for a longer while, but now we want to expand the work of this area with content, with online platforms, with a help desk for the customers doing onboarding so that they can be successful and reach the results they want with our products. So this is in sum what we're doing in this sense. This answers your first question. The second question, what's important is that we are accelerating our sales and saying that we have increased 2.5-fold the entry of new customers. And in Be Online and SaaS, we have a growth over 20%. These numbers are very important. And we will further accelerate the sales with no prejudice of our profitability, because our CAC, as I said, our CAC is very low. And even if we double our marketing investment for some products, we won't have any profitability loss. For example, in April or in March, We more than doubled our marketing investments, but the response was so positive that it was offset. It didn't do anything to our profitability. So we will accelerate, and even if we greatly increase our investments in marketing, the percentage of our revenues that is spent in marketing is still too low. For example, the marketing expenses in some of our operations do not re they do not reach they don't get even close to 5% of the revenues. So if we consider that we are increasing our revenues by 40%, we are in a very privileged situation. We can invest as much as we want in marketing. We can increase our marketing investments substantially with no prejudice to our profitability, because in parallel to this growth, we are also improving the scale. We're also gaining scale in our operations. So profitability will keep growing year after year. First, because SaaS and e-commerce are gaining share in our operations, and also because we are gaining scale in our operations. So there will be no prejudice to our profitability, and we will keep accelerating our operations.
Excellent, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star one on your phone. The next question comes from Eric Wang from 11 Financial.
Good afternoon. Thank you for answering my question. We want to understand what you think about the cross-sell trend. Did you see any deceleration in cross-selling, or have you been able to maintain the numbers? What are the trends in general, cross-selling?
Eric, this is Igor. We've seen steady numbers. We see the same trend that we had before in cross-selling, with the advantage that our Be Online base has been increasing. We have been very successful attracting Be Online clients, and this is a bridge for cross-selling with other products. So despite our cross-sell rate being steady, with this acceleration and the acquisition of Be Online clients, we are building the basis for a better rate in the future with the entry of these new clients. New clients for Be Online specifically. Our SaaS growth, well, as I said, we don't have the cross-sell rate, but what gives a better perspective was the entry of new clients. These new clients are looking for solutions to expand their communication channels with their customers. So what I can tell you is that our cross-sell rate is steady, but we have a very good prospect for the future due to this acceleration in the entry of new clients, particularly for Be Online.
That's great. Thank you. The next question is from Diego Aragão from Goldman Sachs.
Hello, good afternoon, Fernando and Rafael. I'd like to understand the trend that you see for e-commerce. For example, is there any type of seasonality? Should we expect any seasonality as we progress throughout the year? And is this seasonality relevant for us to understand the business? And the second question is about the growth in your top line. In the past, when you presented a strong growth of 45% year over year, and now we see a deceleration, a major deceleration with 32% year over year in the first quarter. So I'd like to know if this level of 30 something percent is a natural and expected level for this year, considering the context of the current scenario. Or is there any upside or downside that we should take into consideration right now? Thank you.
Good morning. This is Rafael. We have to break down e-commerce in two parts. One driver is based on the GMV or TPV growth.
Because it's not about the subscription. Our business has a fixed monthly subscription rate, and then the customer can upgrade. So for GMV, GMV is a proxy of the revenue growth. So these are two different dynamics. Seasonality takes place when retail is growing. For example, Mother's Day is a moment when the GMV is higher, and then we tend to have a proportionally higher revenue. But nothing that changes, suddenly changes the trend of the operations. For example, the first quarter, we don't really have any of those events in the first quarter. But for subscriptions, what drives growth is the entry of new clients. The entry of new clients, and of course, the upgrades of these clients. So what we saw, particularly in late March and in April, was this massive entry of new clients, and this will contribute for the compound numbers of subscriptions and payments to lead to a higher growth for e-commerce. Of course, we need some time for the customer to evolve. They recently joined our customer portfolio. Usually, their average ticket grows threefold over 3 years. But with this massive entry of new customers, we should see growth year over year. And the component of the revenue with direct influence from GMV will grow, and this will lead to a compound growth in the second half of the year, which will be much higher than what you saw in quarter one.
Excellent, Rafael. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your phone.
Since we have no further questions, I'd like to turn over to Mr. Fernando Cirne for his final considerations.
I'd like to thank our shareholders, our employees, our management, the analysts who participated in this call, and I hope to see you in our next conference call 3 months from now in August. Thank you very much.
This concludes today's Locaweb's first quarter 2020 results conference call. Thank you very much for participating and have a great afternoon.